The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 9th Chapter, text number 26 and 27, given by His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj, recorded on April 28, 1996, in Bombay, India.
Great mercy of Lord Krishna. One of the very illustrious and devoted disciples of His Holiness Srila Mukunda Maharaj, who is taking the responsibility of communications and public relations for the country of India. He's a very sweet and wonderful Vaishnav, and we are very much grateful that he has come to our temple today. Could you stand up, please? Please stand up. Everyone, let us welcome Haridam Prabhu to Radha Gopinath Temple. He's especially very concerned with the youth of India. So my humble request is the devotees from ISKCON Youth Forum, after the program, if you could seek his holy association. Vaham raja pradava ishata madikesmin chatha suretar kule pathavan kampa nubrahmano natu bavasya navai ramaya yanmer pita sirasi padmakara prasada. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Tasmadaham vigata viklavavi ishvarasya sarvatmana mahi grinami yathamanisham nichojaya guna visargamanu pravishta puyeta yena hipuman anuvarnitena. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. These beautiful prayers of great humility are being offered by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimha Dev. This 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which includes the wonderful story of the qualities of Prahlad and his love and devotion to the Lord, is so purifying to hear and so deeply enlightening to understand. Srila Gadadhar Pandit, who is none other than the avatari of Srimati Radharani, would recite Srimad Bhagavatam at the Tota Gopinath temple, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to hear. And particularly this story of Prahlad Maharaj, his unalloyed devotion, and his prayers of humility to the Supreme Personality of Godhead were so pleasing to Lord Chaitanya that he would ask Gadadhar Pandit to repeat this narration 100 times over and over and over again. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans. The Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta. All people who want to perfect their human lives, there is only one method, and that is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. It is the ultimate, highest position of reverence within the circle of transcendentalists. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the original 12 Mahajans. To this day, millions of years after Prahlad Maharaj appeared on this earth, in every one of our temples, 6 times a day after every aarti, we are singing prayers and glorification of this great Mahajan Prahlad. He was a child of 5 years old. He heard the glories of the Lord from his Guru Maharaj Shri Narada Muni while in the womb of his mother. Therefore, naturally, whatever he heard from his spiritual master, he wanted to share it with the world. This is the nature of one who receives the mercy of the Lord. He wants to preach. He wants this to give this mercy everywhere, to everyone. One who has been touched by the mercy of the Lord cannot tolerate to see others suffering. So such a person wants to extend himself or herself whatever way possible to reach out and give Krishna to others. His father, Hiranyakashipu, was greatly threatened by Prahlad's devotion. He tried to murder him so many times in so many ways. But Prahlad always remained forgiving well-wisher to his father. He never became angry with him. He was always very respectful, always praying for his welfare. Ultimately, Krishna fulfilled his prayer. Prahlad prayed for the welfare of Hiranyakashipu. So in reciprocation to that wonderful prayer, Narasimhadev appeared and tore him to pieces. He tore open his abdomen. He was a bloody mess, and then he was thrown to the floor. But he was liberated in the process. So after all this, Narasimhadev was so angry because his devotee was offended that this anger caused the whole universe to tremble. Brahma came. He was afraid to approach the Lord. All the demigods, not a single one of them, could approach this form of Narasimhadev. He was too fearful. And then they asked Lakshmi. He's your husband, your eternal husband. Please pacify his anger. Lakshmi looked at Narasimhadev. She said, I do not recognize him in this form. Even Lakshmi dared not approach. But the greatest of the devatas and the greatest of the rishis and even the goddess of fortune could not approach. when Prahlad was asked to come forward, he fearlessly went before the Lord, bowed at his lotus feet. This is the exalted position of Prahlad Maharaj. But what makes his position so glorious? How is it that he had such spiritual strength and integrity? It is revealed herein, within his prayers. He says nothing good about himself. He takes the humblest position. He is explaining herein that I am born in a family of demons. People are generally very proud of their high birth. And if they don't have a high birth, they find something to be proud of. People are just grasping with their intelligence, their mind, everything, to just something to grab onto that we can be proud of, to give us distinction and prestige within the world. But Prahlad, the greatest of the Mahajans, the greatest of the Mahabhagavats, he says, I was born in a family of demons. I was born in the atmosphere where nothing around was but passion and ignorance. And therefore I am just a product. I am just a demon. I am simply succumbed by the modes of passion and ignorance. I have no good qualities. But my Lord, you are so merciful. Your mercy knows no discrimination. How you have causelessly placed your hand on my head, the most fallen, the most undeserving. And by your kindness, anyone, even the demons, even the most fallen, if we take your name and chant your glories, we will become purified of material existence. Whatever Prahlad Maharaj's position was, he was the most undeserving. It was only due to the Supreme Lord's causeless mercy and the causeless mercy of his spiritual master. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. To understand this principle, that when a tree has no good fruits, it stands up very straight. And when a tree is heavily laden with very sweet, ripe fruits, it bends down very low to everyone and to anyone. One who has good qualities is naturally decorated with transcendental humility. And this apparent contradiction is a most wonderful thing to understand. And we find it amongst all great Vaishnavas. Haridas Thakur, he was the Namacharya. Maya herself came to tempt him. First, the most beautiful prostitute. And when he passed that test, Maya wanted to see to what extent this Haridas Thakur could resist the illusory energy. Maya appeared before him in the form of a beautiful woman, and for 3 consecutive nights did everything within her power to attract his attention. But at every moment, he was completely aloof to any temptation of Maya, because his mind and his heart was 100% filled with the beautiful, all-attractive sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. was beaten through 22 marketplaces by terrible executioners because of his compassionate preaching activities. Through that great dilemma, at the end, by his own free will, all of the symptoms of his life ceased. Then, floating in the river Ganges, he came back to life. He rose from the dead. And he continued his preaching of the glories of the holy name. And even the Qazi and the executioners and all those people that sentenced him to death and tried to kill him, they all fell at his lotus feet and worshipped him. Such a personality was Haridas Thakur. But yet he would not take one step in the Jagannath temple in Puri. Why? It is not that he wasn't allowed in. It is that he refused to go in because he considered himself so fallen. He considered like Prahlad. In fact, at one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he saw the humility of Haridas, he said, "You are Prahlad Maharaj." He considered himself an untouchable, a demon. And Lord Chaitanya never even tried to force him to come in because he knew his humility was so deep and so genuine. So Lord Jagannath came out of his temple every single day to meet with Haridas Thakur in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannath thinking, "You are so humble. You are so meek that you will not come to see me. Therefore I will come out to see you. The rest of the world has to travel and come in to see me, but because of your humility, I will personally take the time to come to your abode." Lord Chaitanya, who is Jagannath himself, came every morning to Haridas Thakur's kutir at Siddha Bakula, and he would personally bring him his own prasad. He would deliver his mercy to him. And Sanatana Goswami, what was his quality? Of the six Goswamis, he was the senior most, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami. In fact, Rupa Goswami accepted Sanatana as his guru. We are all Rupanugas. Anyone in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is a follower of Rupa Goswami. Sanatana is the guru of Rupa Goswami. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally said about Sanatana Goswami that his qualities were unparalleled, and even he seeks his association for purification. Saraswat Brahmin family, most highly educated scholar in all the world, no material desires, completely purified soul. At one time, he had the highest position in the entire state. He was like a prime minister. He had fabulous wealth, multi-billionaire by today's standards. Does that? And even Brahmins from all over India would come to study Srimad Bhagavatam with him. He was so learned. And he would feed them all and serve them all. Is that something to be proud of? And then he renounced it all. Is that something to be proud of? First he exhibited all the opulences of beauty and knowledge and wealth and fame. He had all those opulences beyond practically any human being. And then he left it all to live wearing a kopan under trees, taking some little wheat flour he would beg from the Madhukari process in Braja. He would just add some Jamuna water to the wheat flour, make it into balls and throw it in some fire, and that's all he would eat, practically.
to renounce all the riches, opulence, and fame, to live like this? What an opulence. But yet when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he declared himself to be more fallen than Jagai and Madhai, the lowest of the low. I am the most fallen. But you have come as Patita Pavana Avatar to deliver the most fallen. So hope against hope, all I have is the shelter of your lotus feet. And when Sanatana Goswami went to Jagannath Puri, he would not go into the Jagannath temple. Not that he wasn't allowed. He felt himself too fallen. It has always been a principle that people who are not Hindus, who are not following the Sanatana Dharma process, cannot go in. But he would not go in because he felt that he didn't have the qualifications even the ordinary Hindus had. This was his humility. Not only would he not go in, he wouldn't even go in front of the temple. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited him to take his remnants at Yameshwar, at noon, Sanatana Goswami went way around the long way along the beach in the summertime. The sand was hot as fiery coals. His feet were blistered. When Lord Chaitanya saw his feet, he said, "Which way did you come?" He said, "I came by the beach." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Why? It's a very short path across the Singhadwara gate. It's very cool and shaded. The beach, the sand is like fire." Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, how could I go in front of the Singhadwara gate? How could I do such a thing? I've made enough offenses in my life. How could I do such a terrible thing like this? I am so contaminated. I am so fallen. The pujaris of Jagannath, his personal servants, are going in and out of the Singhadwara gate to make their offerings. If by chance one of them were even to touch me or come near me, they would be contaminated. They would be unfit to touch or worship the deity, and this would be a great offense." Such humility. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the acharya who has presented the most elevated book of transcendental knowledge that has ever come to this world. Srila Vedavyas, he wrote all the Vedic literatures, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda. He wrote all the Upanishads, the Itihastas. He wrote the Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary study of all Mahabharata. The culmination of all of his writings is Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest, purest essence of all knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the great acharyas declare that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begins where Bhagavatam concludes and goes beyond, way beyond, in transcendental subject matter. On the banks of Sri Radha Kund and Shama Kund, he wrote the greatest of all spiritual literatures, in the association of the purest and highest eternal associates of the Lord. And what? How did he declare himself? Did he say, "I wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita"? When he introduced himself to someone, did he say, "My name is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita"? He never saw himself in that light.
But rather, he prayed that I am more fallen, I am more degraded than the insignificant worm that lives in stool. What kind of karma is it to be a worm living in stool? Such worms, they are born in the stool and they die in the stool. And their whole life, their infancy, their babyhood, their youth, when they're learning, educational, then they find a nice female worm, and they marry, enter into that, I wouldn't call it grihasta, but they enter into family life, and gradually the children start growing up, they retire, and then they die, all within the stool. Not only, usually the same piece of stool. I'm sorry, Jim. I know you are all cultured followers of Sanatan Dharma, but still, this is a subject matter Prabhupada told me to discuss. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, at least the worm has a position in the stool, but I have no position. Therefore, I am more lowly than the worm in the stool. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. If anyone hears my name, whatever pious credits he has accumulated in all his previous lives, he will lose it all just by hearing my name. And if anyone speaks my name, that person becomes sinful. I am an old, an invalid, and useless. How I am writing, it is a great wonder, because it is not me. It is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his infinite causeless mercy, moving my hand to write this book. He is the author of this book. I am just his most fallen, undeserving servant, who his inconceivable mercy can use even me as his instrument to reveal the highest truths to the world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had no hesitation to say anyone who hears this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with a submissive and faithful heart will achieve the highest perfection of love of Krishna. But he took no credit for himself because he knew that he did not write anything. It was the Lord working through him, who he considered the most fallen of the fallen. Srila Prabhupada would listen to his own books being read. Why? Because he had that humility. He expressed his humility very openly in the desperation of his coming to America and seeing what challenge confronted him. The most demoniac civilization. How to make them Krishna conscious. He declared himself to be the most insignificant beggar. Materialistic people, they don't like to be considered a beggar. I remember when I first became a devotee, I made the mistake of writing a letter to my parents, and I signed it, "Your servant, Radhanath Das." They knew my name was Radhanath Das, but they were very upset that I said, "Your servant." They said, "Why are you calling yourself a servant?"
You went through the educational system, you so many things you've done in life just to become a servant? The servants, they don't want to stay servants. Everyone wants to be master. But a devotee calls everyone Prabhu and only calls himself Das, 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 Anu Das. We don't even want to be a servant. I didn't explain this. I should have explained it to them. I said, actually, you're right. I am not your servant. I am the servant of the servant of your servant. Materialistic people can never understand the way a Vaishnava thinks. Because in this material world, everyone is competing ferociously according to whatever level they are in society to supersede others for distinction, for power, for recognition. And even sometimes we carry these material conceptions into the association of devotees. And we compete for recognition. We compete for position and title. Here at the Brahmachari Ashram, these devotees are very nice. They compete to get away from the titles. There is rotating presidency, and everybody is just, nobody is waiting for the day they can be president. But the person's president is waiting for the day when someone else can be president and he could be their humble servant. Because actually the humble servant, whatever our position, president, GBC, guru, temple commander, head pujari, head cook, any position we have, we're only a humble servant. They are just different ways to serve the Vaishnava community. So we are not attached to any title, we are not attached to any prestige, we are only attached to humble service. If you tell me I have to do this, I will do it as a humble service. That's how devotees get high positions. If the Vaishnavas insist, I must do this, as your humble servant, I will do it. Not politicking and campaigning to go to the top. Just like water, the nature of water is it always goes to the lowest possible point. Just like in this temple room, under the chandelier, there's a little thing that goes low. A little tiny indentation. If you put water in this room, the water will always be searching to go there. It's always trying to go to the lowest point. So that is the natural consciousness of a devotee. He's always anxious to go to the humblest position possible. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And it is this quality, only this quality, that attracts Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sanatana Goswami was speaking of how sinful and contaminated he was, Lord Chaitanya embraced him and began to weep, cry, said, "Your humility is breaking my heart. It is only this humility that can purchase Krishna. There is no other way. Krishna is not attracted to anything else." Prahlad Maharaj is here and exhibiting this wonderful, wonderful quality. And Lord Narasimhadev himself wanted to glorify Prahlad for the whole world to see. It is wonderful because devotees never want to glorify themselves, but such a person who has no tinge of desire for glory, but wants to give all glory to Krishna, Krishna wants to give all glory to that devotee. This year is Srila Prabhupada's centennial celebration. Srila Prabhupada kept himself in the back. He was in the front. He was the general of the army of Lord Chaitanya's. He was meeting with the press. He was pushing his devotees forward. He was giving public lectures, private lectures. He was pushing forward. But he was always glorifying Krishna, never himself. He named his institution the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He dedicated his life 100% to get everyone to chant Krishna's name. And now Krishna is inducing the world to chant Srila Prabhupada's name as his most intimate devotee and servant. This is the natural love between Krishna and his devotee. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was meeting with his devotees in Jagannath Puri, every year the devotees from Bengal would come to meet with him. And they would spend the 4 months of Chaturmasya. So many wonderful festivals they would celebrate together, especially Ratha Yatra. They would all dance and chant with the Lord in the beautiful presence of Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is that beautiful golden dancer that we worship with the core of our hearts, he would just induce everyone to just become intoxicated in the transcendental ras of kirtan. And by his wonderful love and influence, everyone would raise their arms high and chant the holy name. At the end of the 4 months, the devotees from Bengal would return to perform their occupational duties and their sadhana in their particular places of residence. And every year it was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the wonderful loving exchanges that would take place as the Lord was bidding farewell to all of his devotees. The devotees are more dear to the Lord than his own life. And the Lord is more dear to the devotees than their own life. The separation from one another is very difficult. But at the same time, it is very purifying. Because in love, there is no separation. In Krishna consciousness, separation is a means by which the presence of our divine associates becomes deeper and more prominent in our hearts. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meet each and every devotee, and they would be crying, and he would embrace them all, and they would embrace him at his lotus feet. And there was always beautiful exchanges where Lord Chaitanya would give instructions. So on one occasion, the inhabitants of Kulinagram, just before they were about to depart from the association of the Lord, they inquired, "My Lord, kindly tell me what is my duty and how should I execute it?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "First of all, we should understand that this question is on behalf of all Vaishnavas.
Just as when Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami his questions, he was asking on behalf of all humanity. And when Arjuna was inquiring from Krishna, the reply was to all devotees throughout creation for all time. So the residents of Kulinagram, as disciples of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were asking him the question we should all be asking: what is my duty and how should I execute it? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply is the supreme substance of spiritual knowledge, that is the life and soul of all of us. Mahaprabhu replied,
Prabhu kahi Vaishnav seva nama sankirtan duikara sigrapabhi Shri Krishna charan.
The Lord replied, you should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. This is the sum and substance of spirituality in this age of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, in the age of Kali, there are only two religious principles that survive: service, becoming the servant of the Vaishnavas and Krishna, and the constant chanting of Krishna's holy name. It is for this reason that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was traveling in the southern parts of India, people would come to him, and he was very busy. So many people come, and he didn't want to waste precious time. So many gurus and many sadhus and many babajis, they would come. He would want to discuss so many subjects with them. He would ask, he would screen. He had his own screening process. He was very bold and very blunt. He said, are you a devotee of Krishna? And what do you think they would say? Generally, they would say, yes, I am a devotee of Krishna. I'm very busy today. I do not have time to speak with you. Anyone who declares to be a devotee of Krishna is not a devotee of Krishna. If that person would say, I am the servant of the servants of Krishna, I am the devotees, I am a devotee of Krishna's devotees, then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would reply, yes, let us talk. I will give not only my time but my life to you. To be the servant of the servant of the Lord is the highest spiritual principle. Even the Lord aspires for that position. Krishna would carry the shoes of his father on his head. And that was his great pleasure. Krishna would wash the feet of his devotee, Sudama. When the calves went away and all the boys were enjoying prasad, Krishna said, all of you, you stay and eat your prasad. I will go and look for the calves. Krishna loves to serve his devotees. And more than that, he loves those who serve his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the very, very personification of the most of the principle of humility in the service of Vaishnavas.
the supreme lord of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, how he would fold his devotees' clothes. He would carry water for them. He would do the most menial services for them. And when he took the form of the Lord, sometimes he would get in the mood where he was the servant of the Vaishnavas and he would touch their feet and worship them. And other times, for the pleasures and ecstatic love, he would actually take the role of the Lord, only amongst his most intimate devotees. And when they were performing the Abhishekam at Srivas's house, they were bringing water, and a simple, uneducated old woman named Dukhi, she was just helping to facilitate the water. She was putting the buckets of water from the Ganga in nice, orderly fashion, so it was more convenient and comfortable for the devotees to take it and bathe the Lord. When he saw that she was, in a very humble way, just assisting those devotees, he said, "Your name is no longer Dukhi, it has become Sukhi." And then all of her distress disappeared, and she became a pure devotee, a Paramhamsa. A Paramhamsa. Prema Bhakti. The yogis in the caves of Himalayas, for lifetimes they fast, they control their breath, they control their senses. They never become Paramhamsas. The jnanis who sit in their lifetimes of studying the scripture and memorizing shlokas, they never become Paramhamsas. Because she was serving Vaishnavas with sincere and faithful heart, she was made Paramhamsa. She was given Prema Bhakti. Whoever becomes dear to the Lord's devotees becomes most dear to the Lord. Therefore, this is the supreme religious principle. Because by developing such a consciousness of the servant of the servant of the servant, Krishna is so pleased that when you chant his name, he will appear within his name in your heart. If you are not Trinarapi Suniche Natarorapi Sihishnama Amani Manina Kirtaniya Sadhari, if you are not striving for humility, striving to be the servant of the servant of the servant, why should Krishna manifest himself in his name to you? He is not obliged. It is not that by just chanting so many numbers of rounds, Krishna has to come and dance before you. Not like that. But when we become the servant of the servant and we faithfully chant his name, then we experience param drisva nivartate, the higher taste. And then, at that time, kirtaniya sadahari. Once we experience the higher taste of Krishna in his name, we cannot stop chanting that name. Nothing of this world appeals to us. There is no charm seeing the illusory energy when we taste the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Krishna says in Gita that all opulent and splendid things in this world are just a spark of my glory. Krishna is all attractive. How, when Krishna reveals himself within the two syllables Krishna, when Srimati Radharani, the very goddess of ecstatic love, manifests herself within the name Hare, when Krishna who is the ultimate ocean of pleasure, reveals himself in the name Rama. How could we possibly again be attracted to the pleasures of this flesh and blood, these dry, tasteless things of this world?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha prabhrishayatam sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinamai.
Without you, Govinda, this entire jagat, this entire universe is sunya. It is zero. It is a void. There's nothing.
And yet look at material society. They have completely forsaken Govinda to chase after the mirages in this desert of material existence.
But when we taste the nectar of the holy name, then it is natural, it is spontaneous. Kirtaniya Sadahari. We will continuously chant Hare Krishna.
And this is why we have come to this movement. We have not come for some economic solutions to our problems in life. We do not come to the Hare Krishna movement with the hope that we will do better in our exams, or that we will get more money in our business. We don't come because we're expecting I'll get a handsome, successful husband or a beautiful, devoted wife. I hope none of you have come to the movement. Anyways, even if you did, because you're chanting Hare Krishna gradually, you'll become frustrated with all these things. But it's a long process. But most of us, we have come to this movement because we want to transcend the modes of material nature. We want to achieve Krishna Prema. So we should do our business. Becoming the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas and very regularly and attentively chanting Krishna's name. These are the two supreme most religious principles in this age of Kali. And anyone who simply does this, it does not matter. It does not matter whether you are born in an untouchable family like some of us. It does not matter if you're born in a Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya family. No matter. It doesn't matter whether you're living in the street as a beggar or whether you're living in a very, very big palace. It doesn't matter whether you have BA, MA, PhD, or whether you can't even write your own name. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji could not write. But yet Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the greatest scholar of the day, begged at his lotus feet for his mercy. In his old age he couldn't even see. But everyone was coming to him to show them Krishna. So there is no material consideration on the path of bhakti. It doesn't matter whether you are man or woman, old or young. If you become the servant of the servant of the devotees and you strive for this position of humility that we find, Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panda, if we follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, and that means we are always striving for the principle of humility in our life. We always want to be the servant of the servants. And we very, very enthusiastically, attentively, with strict vow of regulation,
we chant Krishna's names, then we will achieve Krishna's mercy. And Krishna will take us beyond all of the temptations and influences of material energy. He has that power, and He will give us that grace. Nothing else is required. Srila Prabhupada simply gave Krishna consciousness as it is. Become servant of the servant and chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, engage yourself in the servant of the servants of Krishna and chant the holy names. So then the inhabitants of Kulinagram asked, Teno kahi ke vaishnava kitandra lakshan tabihasi kahi prabhu janitandraman. Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. Krishna nama nirantara yanhara vadani se vaishnava shreshta bhajatanhara charani. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. He doesn't say one who can perform miraculous powers, one who can produce gold, one who can make fire come out of his hair. One who could read your mind and tell you, you are thinking like this. One who can tell you, in 1981, you were in this place doing this thing. It doesn't say anything about these. These are all material attributes. But one who is always chanting the holy name, he is first-class Vaishnava. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the servants of the servants. That means anyone who is serving such first-class Vaishnavas, or serving the servants of such first-class Vaishnavas, they are most dear to the Lord. We may not be first-class Vaishnavas, but if somehow we are serving a first-class Vaishnava, if we serve such a person, even he may be second class or third class, but if he is the servant of first class, then the Lord is very pleased with our effort. And of course, he says, first class means one who is always chanting the holy name of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared himself, who is competent to always chant the holy name of Krishna? Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. One who is more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return, that is first-class Vaishnava. That person can chant the name of the Lord constantly. That person Krishna has given the true higher taste. The following year, as the residents of Kulinagram were leaving Jagannath Puri, they asked Lord Chaitanya the same question again. How do we understand what is a great Vaishnava? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this year replied, Yanhara darshani muke aise Krishna naam thanhare janihatumi Vaishnava pradhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said,
A first-class Vaishnava is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. So let us always aspire as our life and soul to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of such great personalities as His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And if we all develop this spirit, then our kirtans become so pleasing to the Lord that He personally descends within His holy name. Not only that, but the spiritual world descends wherever the devotees in this humble mood of serving Vaishnavas and Krishna are chanting the holy names. The spiritual world is that place where everyone is unitedly glorifying Krishna. Krishna enacted His highest lila, which is called Sri Ras Lila, in the beautiful forests, kunjas of Brajbhumi. How He played upon His flute at the Bamsivat tree and called gopis away from everything, and how He and His eternal associates, the Braja Gopis, danced throughout the night. Not only throughout the night, but because they were having such transcendental happiness dancing together, Krishna extended that night to the length of time of one night of Brahma. Who remembers how many years a night of Brahma is? It's a long time. 4 billion. Huh? 4,032,000,000 years, 320 million years, like that. Anyways, that's how long they danced. And they did not get tired. They just danced and danced, you know, because they were in transcendental bodies. Some foolish people, they try to compare the holiest of all pure spiritual leelas, Ras Leela, to the relationships between men and women of this world. But let us see men and women dance for 4,320,000,000 years without getting tired. They dance for a few hours at night and then finished. Because they're doing it for their sense gratification. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is Radha in Krishna, and He has descended in this world to bestow the greatest opportunity for all living entities to achieve the highest perfections of life. And He manifested the highest, purest, and most misunderstood leela of the Ras Leela in such a palatable an easy to comprehend way through the congregational chanting of the holy names. And as we become more purified through chanting, we understand that actually this is the leela of the spiritual world. And we can actually enter, our consciousness can enter into the leela of the spiritual world as we are chanting the holy names. And when the devotees who are actually and sincerely in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant chant together,
then the spiritual world descends in that place and it becomes all attractive to all sincere peoples to hear and to see. If we are chanting and dancing, not in this mood, if we're enemies all day, competing with each other, envious of each other, criticizing each other, then we come together for kirtan. It's nice, but is Krishna pleased to manifest himself in that atmosphere? To a very small extent, he will. But when devotees are genuinely trying to be humble servants of the servants of the servants, and then they come together as a great austerity to raise their arms and chant Hare Krishna, then you should know that Krishna manifests in the name. The whole spiritual world, the temple room, becomes Goloka Vrindavan. And we can actually experience the ecstasy, little by little, the ecstasy of the spiritual world. And it will attract so many sincere people to come and join this wonderful movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. So it is my very sincere, humbly attempted request to all of you to please always remain united in serving the Vaishnavas and come before Radha Gopinath in that spirit as much as possible and have the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Remain very pure in your principles in life. Keep your sadhana very strict, uncompromising, and be exemplary. Exemplary as Vaishnavas in everything you do, whether you are students or fathers or mothers or in some occupational duty or whether you are brahmacharis, whatever. Exemplary way that you give dignity to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya's movement by your purity, your honesty, and your uncompromising devotional service. Thank you very much. Now let us invite Goloka Vrindavan to enter into our hearts and into this beautiful temple. To the enthusiastic, devotional, and very loud chanting of Krishna's holy names.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Address is 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindahari Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Louder, please.